you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun.
Everyone is in a flap and almost anything can happen.
Yes, with Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards together again, almost anything can happen, and presumably will. Moreover, we've found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes among those present, and Frank Cantell has brought the augmented review orchestra along. So if you've got half an hour that's more or less clear,
take it from me.
Jimmy, come here. Do you know it's Dick's birthday on Saturday? Saturday the 14th. I remember him telling me he was born under Taurus the Bull.
It was probably shady there. Oh, that gives us a good start.
Well, if you've got any more like that, we're going to need it. Jimmy, don't you think we should buy Dick a present? After all, it is his birthday. It's up to us to make a suitable gesture.
I rather fancy that one of Mr. Churchill's. Still... Perhaps you're right, Joy, but it's so difficult to know what to give. It's vulgar to offer cash. Do you think Bentley could bring himself to accept money?
Well, if he couldn't bring himself, he'd send somebody. But I think a present is nicer. Perhaps we could get him something with an inscription.
I'll ring up a stonemason. Actually, I put aside a watch to give Bentley, but it started going again. Perhaps the best thing to do is to ask him what he wants. Oh, Bentley... I've heard it's your birthday this week. Well, you know what I wish you.
Jimmy, that's a very nasty thing to say. Especially to a birthday boy. Oh, gosh, hurry up, Saturday. I can't imagine what it feels like to be 24.
Well, think back.
Have you had any nice presents yet, Dick? You know, really expensive ones.
Joy, dear child, I thought you'd know that I'm not the type to measure a present by how much it costs. It's not the gift that matters, it's the thought behind it. As it happens, I've had a very nice tuppenny bar of chocolate from Charles Metcalfe. The stingy cheapskate!
Gently, Bentley! Joy and myself were wondering what to buy you.
Oh, please don't bother. You don't want to spend your hard-earned money on me.
I know we don't. But it looks as though we've got to. My suggestion is to buy you something you can wear on formal occasions, like tea.
Well, if you insist, by mere chance, I jotted down a list of a few odds and ends that I could do with. Here it is. If you'll just turn to page 842.
Well, just leave the list with us, Dick. We'll choose something.
Okay. You'll find a set of banker's orders at the back. Gosh, aren't birthdays a trouble? This one caught me quite unprepared.
Well, how about cards, Dick? Have you had any?
Have I had any? Well, you know how it is when a man is popular and sought after.
Yes, but Joy was asking if you'd had any.
I've had about, one, yes. It's from a girlfriend. Rather a cute rhyme on it, too. Listen, happy birthday, Dickie dear. I'm writing sentimentally in memory of that starry night when you whispered,
Black Mark Bentley! But Bentley, old boy, aren't you going to throw a party? I love parties. Paper hats and games and balloons and dirty great dollops of Blancmange.
Oh, yes, Dick. It's up to you to celebrate the occasion. After all, the BBC are going to give you the front cover of the Radio Times.
I don't think that's much of a gift.
Is the way Dick gets it, full of chips.
Well, I would suggest you have your birthday party in conformity with English conventional idiosyncrasies.
Jimmy, you took the words right out of my mouth. The little ones, anyway.
I'm referring to the custom of inviting one guest for every year of your age. Thus, if you're 18, you have 18 guests. If you're 21, you have 21 guests.
Well, that sounds fine. Will you get Wallace Eaton to hire a place the right size?
Certainly. Oh, Wall, can you put in a tender for Wembley Stadium?
No, Jim, but I can fix you up with a batter for Haringey Arena. Jim Hoggins will probably let you have your old one back.
Oh, he's bound to. They're very proud of Jim back in the building.
I bet you used to have plenty of parties around there, Wallace.
Oh, yes. We had them out in the open. Jim had a very large back area them days.
Well, success hasn't changed him a bit. But these parties, they must have been pretty riotous affairs.
Oh, no, quite respectable. Jim's mum wasn't the sort you'd see inside a bar sipping small gins. No, not her. She'd be lying out on the pavement with the bottle. Still, there were no excesses.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yes, the old family was always inside by 11 o'clock and bailed out the first thing in the morning. Remember who used to be the life and soul of them parties, Jim? Ariadne Garbage.
What a ghastly name.
Oh, a gay, happy-go-lucky creature was Miss Garbage. No flies on Ariadne. Always humming around the place. She's your biggest fan now, Jim. She got a petition up round the buildings to have you buried in Westminster Abbey.
Buried in Westminster Abbey, eh? I am flattered.
Yes, Jim. She says, will next Thursday suit you?
Here's a song that I created, nothing too sophisticated. It's a thing that everybody knows. Not a hilly-billy ballad full of sentimental salad, though you think it's silly, I suppose. My own refrain, child of my brain.
And my song is dedicated to the people who are made it. Listen now, for here is how it goes.
You remember one September afternoon, I stood with you and listened to a wedding tune.
And didn't I go with you on your honeymoon?
Remember me. Do you recall a cottage small upon a hill, where every day I had to pay another bill?
And if I'm not mistaken, dear, I pay them still.
Remember me. I can see that it is on your knee. The boy whose only joy is loving you, who worries till he hurries home when day is through.
And I'm the boy you give your goodnight kisses to.
Remember me.
Yes, I'm the boy whose only joy is loving you, who worries till he hurries home when day is through.
And I'm the boy you give your goodnight kisses to. Remember me,
my darling, please remember me.
Thank you, Keynote. Oh, look, Jimmy, there's a letter forwarded to me from the British Industry Spare. It's addressed Dick Bentley, the BIF.
Bentley, that I is a full stop. Besides, what would British Industries want with you?
Well, as it happens, they wanted my advice on exports. They couldn't make up their mind what was the best thing to send out of the country.
And they thought of you. Oh, how nice, Dick. Did you go along there?
Oh, yes, yes. Some wonderful gadgets for the home. You know. One really impressed me. When a housewife has a whole lot of dirty dishes, she just piles them in the sink, then presses a little button.
What does that do?
Switches on the light so she can see to wash up. Oh, I'm full of little cracks.
That's just time and weather. But let's try and sort out some angles on this fair.
I'm with you, James. Ladies and gentlemen, stand by for facts on the British Industries Fair.
Tyfe's mass observer mingled with the crowds of the BIF, and the following statistics were collected.
On the subject of what they were there to buy,
56% said they were just window shopping.
43% said they were fed up with buying windows.
4% said surely it's obvious.
68% said the economic position meant husbanding every pound.
82% said the economic position was pounding every husband.
One overseas buyer said,
Please, where to find the cost of scratch, Nisekel?
Over there on the left, behind the China department, sir.
When asked to suggest fresh articles for sending abroad,
4% said surely it's obvious.
60% said we should export more trouser presses.
40% said how could we export more trouser presses?
60% said any fool knows how to export more trouser presses.
40% said, are you implying I'm a fool?
60% said if the cap fit, wear it.
40% said, don't you raise your voice to me, sir.
60% said I'll raise my voice to whom I flaming well like.
5% said, now, gentlemen, please.
40% and 60% said, you keep out of this.
One overseas buyer said,
Please, I still do not find the cost for such crash mistake.
Like I've told you, right behind the Crown Derby China.
When asked what they would like to see in a brand new modern flat,
77% replied me.
98% replied Jane Russell.
When asked to elucidate this last answer,
4% said, surely it's obvious.
One overseas buyer said,
2 hours now I search for and find not the Cosmos Krasnysekle.
Yeah, what is this Cosmos Krasnysekle?
The head of the diplomatic corps.
Blimey, that's me!
The British Industries Fair is giving a big chance to British textiles. All our big dress shops support a spurt of interest in new clothes.
Please, Mum wants a dress with classical simplicity that clings in a sophisticated pencil line like a shaft of satin moonlight hips 48.
I see. Hips 48, that's rather difficult. I need some more measurements. Neck?
Me? I knew with Gilbert. He told me to choose something a la mode for myself because anything strapless sends him running up the wall. He becomes quite uncontrollable, I'm happy to say. Not that he...
Quite. Well, if you're looking for something for yourself, I have a nice material here. It's rather moire, only sheerer. Perhaps the style could be made similar to the thing you have on now. Are you always in a bustle?
Oh, mustn't grumble. I'm kept quite busy, what with Gilbert and other pressing needs. I did have in mind something with the Empire line, but I'm afraid I've put on a bit round the colony. This one I got, I ran up on an old parachute.
I think you should have bailed out a bit earlier. Well, here's the very thing for you. It's only 85 guineas. Gold lame. What a fabric.
Gold lame. What a price.
The BIF has brought a flood of foreign visitors to this country. With so many charming French nationals in town, many Londoners are brushing up their French, especially such simple phrases as,
oh, Mademoiselle Maybe. Comment vous carry yourself ce soir? How still it is here in this corner of the fair, just you, me, and that bearded gent purchasing plastic pepper pots for Pakistan. I must say that I am disappointed in this fair. Not even one dodgem car. Oh, Mavis, I shall never forget the first moment I saw you explaining that new steam shovel. You looked so provocative standing there with your mouth full of rubble. Oh, look, there is one of our British policemen whom, as you know, is wonderful. All right, Constable, no need to take that attitude. I know this lady. Regarde, mon cheri, knowing your continental ways, may I salute you by raising your hand to my lips, thus. Oh, mate, next time I must remember to take the fag out of my mouth.
There were hearts that had loved, but all in vain. 'Twas goodbye to the sweetheart of the nation at the wedding of Lily Marlene. Men who'd marched where the desert sands are burning, from Tobruk down the road to Alamein. In their hearts, tender memories were returning at the wedding of Lily Marlene. As she knelt where the candlelights were gleaming, it seemed the choir sang soft and low.
Farewell, angel of the lamplight, we'll always love you so.
Down the aisle came the bride in all her glory, the strains of her own sweet love refrain. Twas the end of a very lovely story at the wedding of Lily Marlene.
Time stood still in that little church. There were thoughts of yesterday, of the storm and the exultant joy that came with V-Day. They were saying goodbye to a sweetheart that many had loved in vain.
At the wedding of Lily Marlene.
Many were those who had sung of her charm. They loved her one and all. They raised their hand in proud salute, a silent bugle call, Why did they come from near and far? It's needless to explain.
For the wedding of Lily Marlene.
As she knelt where the candle lights were gleaming, it seemed the choir sang soft and low. Came the bride in all her glory, to the strains of her own sweet love refrain. 'Twas the end of a very lovely story at the wedding of Lily Marlene. Thank you,
Miss Nichols, and greetings, gentlefolk. I don't know why I keep on saying greetings, gentlefolk. For 2 years I've been bashing it as a catchphrase, and it's never got a titter yet. Then one day I accidentally say, what a gaff. Oh, it's sickening. Especially when you see the success of the phrase used by that chap, Sid Costa. You know, the one with the ridiculous moustache. Right. Mine is not ridiculous. Why, his pet line has caught on to an amazing extent. I hear that whenever Mr. Spacey wants his parliamentary secretary, he pokes his head round the door of number 10 and says, good morning, sir. Was there summer still? Well, now, here are my program notes on this week's film. A greetings, gentlefolk. Oh, you've made me feel so happy. Well, never mind. Now then, our film this week has an historical setting. Note that I said an historical, not a historical. That shows the benefit of attending a public school like what I done. Actually, when Bentley was at school, he was very good at history. When he was at school, there wasn't much history to learn. Now, the period of our film is medieval. It was a period of great unrest when barons could pillage a village, and you could get rid of your wife by handing over to the court a couple of acres of arable land. This became known as giving grounds for divorce. Didn't really, actually. We just made that up. Now then, I don't take any responsibility. Our hero is Robin Hood, the first man to have a merry band, even before Billy Cotton. He roamed Sherwood Forest, sleeping under the lofty stars, with the cool bite of the wind for his blanket, and the kiss of the rain for companionship. That kind of life gives a man something. Rheumatism. So to our Robin Hood overture, played by Crossbow Cantell and his archers, whom we collected from the far corners of Archer Street. The middle eight bars... So you know it, do you? The middle eight bars were written for Sackbut and Glockenspiel. So if you're listening, Sacky and Glock... To our Robin Hood overture, played by Crossbow Cantell and his archers, whom we collected from the far corners of Archer Street. The middle eight bars... So you know it, do you? The middle eight bars were written for Sackbut and Glockenspiel. So if you're listening, Sacky and Glock, all the best from us here in Hamburg. Overture, gentlemen, please.
The story of Robin Hood is Little Red these days. So Tice now brings to the screen Little Red Robin Hood. Here at last is something that will appeal to every growing lad who dreams of daring adventure. Yes, it's Joy Nichols, who was invited to appear in Stuart Granger's new play. And asked what she knew about the power of darkness, Miss Nichols replied, Today she portrays Robin Hood's girlfriend, Maid Marian.
Robin. He told me to meet him by yon blasted oak. I bet he's gone along to yon perishing elm. Every day we practice archery. I go into the forest with my bow and arrow and quiver. Well, if you knew him like I do, you'd quiver too.
But what of Robin Hood himself? We decided that only Richard Dentley had the sort of figure you look for in The Outlaw. Master Dentley plays Robin Hood, the most daring bandit in history.
Little John, did you bring me my suit of Lincoln green? Oh, you brought the wrong shade. That's lavender blue, silly Billy. When I wear those baggy tights, everybody says I look like one of the troubadours. I think the word's troubadours. Might be droopy drawers.
The plot thickens. The plot thickens, and so does Professor Jimmy Edwards. Notorious receiver. The film was called Sorry, Wrong Number. Today he plays the villainous, all-powerful sheriff, the Earl of Nottingham.
Forsooth, Gramercy, by my halidom, and similar medieval catchphrases. I have a lot of influence at court. Nobody can pull strings without Nottingham.
But your worship, haven't you heard of this man who's terrorizing the country? He takes everything from aren't you worried?
Oh, no, Sir Stafford knows what he's doing.
So to our picture. This film runs 3 hours without editing. You'd think a three-hour film would have something. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Another Part of the Forest, or The Corny Green. The scene is Sherwood Forest. The Earl of Nottingham is out deer hunting with his court.
Odds giblets! 15 miles we have ventured through this bosky wildwood. I would as lief have stayed home. Straight up I would as lief have. What are we hunting for, anyway?
Heard of deer, my lord.
Of course I've heard of deer. They're big things like horses, with a hat rack on their forehead. Where have they all gone, prithee? Prithee, I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, there's a band of outlaws who have been killing them off. The poor people are very fond of deer meat.
Well, 4 ounces of scrag in for one and tuppence should be dear enough for anybody. Just wait till I catch those outlaws.
My lord, take heed. Down in the forest, something stirs.
It was only Ludwig Koch recording a bird.
Oh, nay, my lord. We are hard by the outlaws' hiding place. Look, there by the stream, yonder.
Yonder?
No, yonderer than that. There is a girl washing her wimple in the stream.
Eh? I would fain check up. Hereford, hold my falcon. A Culpepper, a dash back to the castle and look up what wimple means. I'll go and have converse with her. If I'm not back in 10 minutes...
Yes, my lord.
You lot go home. Oh, a toothsome morsel, if they... What are you, my lass? Who are you?
Oh, I am Robin's girlfriend.
His girlfriend?
That's what the Hayes office says. Oh, look, there's Robin. Just see a green jerkin.
I see a jerkin green.
Beloved, your sweetheart is in danger. Won't you come, Ada?
Stop calling me Ada. I come, light of my life. Friar Tuck, hand me my favorite bow. No, the red satin one. It matches my sash.
Ah, here he is, the rose of the wildwood.
Gad, martyr!
Nay, sir, permit me to introduce myself. I am Robin.
What's your cock?
Not cock, Robin. My surname is Hood. I am ruler of this forest of Nottingham. Or perhaps it's not to you.
And not to you too, sir. So this is where you hang out.
Oh, no. We just do the washing here. We hang out over there.
To think I was just out hawking and I flush my arch enemy. I must be quite a hawker.
You're pretty circular, too. Mm.
You're trapped. I have men at arms in yonder wood. You have walked into an ambuscade or ambush. Robin Hood, it is the end of your escapade or escapush.
Sheriff, I laugh in your face. Just turn your face round a minute. That's it. Why, I have but to sound my horn, and all my merry men will come running. Listen. Has anybody come running?
Only 3 Americans shouting taxi. Robin, we're the only 2 in this part of the woods. What is there to do?
Well, I...
Black Mark Hood! My orders were to take you alive. It looks as though I'm about 10 years too late. Or should I have said 20? Well, now then, men, seize them.
Oh, no, you cannot do this. I am just a defenseless girl. Is chivalry quite dead?
No, I heard him the other night.
Every little breeze seems to whisper Louis.
Not Maurice Chivalry. Clot. But I'll strike a bargain with you. I'll only imprison the one who's been causing me all the trouble, and I'll let the young beauty go free.
Oh, thank you.
But don't worry, Marion. I'll come and bail you out.
So the wicked Earl took me to the castle and kept me cooped up in the keep. Every day the cruel Earl of Nottingham came to taunt me.
Silly old Marion, cooped in the keep.
But I received a letter from Robin. It was shot through my window on the end of an arrow. I bent down to pick it up. Oh! I should have remembered Robin always sent a P.S. The note read, "Be of good cheer. Have sent all details of your case to live letterbox. Yours truly, R. Hood Bandit." Hiding the letter in my wimple, I buried my head in my hands. As the Earl came in, I hastily dug it up. He spoke.
So your proud, haughty spirit is unbroken. You're not cowed sitting in here.
Oh, no, I'm quite warm, thank you. I know that Robin will rescue me in one of his many disguises. He's a man of a thousand faces.
And why did you always wear that one? If this is true, I'll check the identity of everyone around here. Now you, Varlet, you're a trusty son of the English soil, aren't you?
Yeah, mein Commandant.
Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about there, anyway.
Oh, no, no, he's Robin. I recognize the two peacock feathers he's wearing.
That's my hair.
Hey?
I said, yeah, mine hair.
I recognize you now. You gave yourself away with those big letters R.H. embroidered on your doublet. You must be either Robin Hood or Rennie Houston. But it's beyond belief. How did you cross the moat?
I used a boat.
What sort of a boat can cross a moat?
A motorboat. aren't you glad you asked?
Mr. Interlocutor, I have a question. How are we going to get out of here?
Don't tell me your men are without.
Why not?
The answer is even cornier than motorboats. Oh, no, you fools. There are 3,000 armed men in this castle, armed with arquebuses, pikes, and crossbows, not to mention the halberds, both Jack and Claude.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Nottingham. My men are everywhere. We have occupied the castle under pretense of inspecting war damage. Summon your men. I defy you.
Master at arms, men, seize them.
Oh, look. All his soldiers have thrown off their armor. Everyone's wearing Lincoln green.
Yes, it's definitely the color this year. Cool and yet flattering to the fuller figure.
Very well, then, I admit defeat. Robin Hood, I grant you an unconditional amnesty. Yeah.
Well, what?
Robin, he means a pardon. He said pardon.
Well, he should put his hand in front of his mouth.
But I warn you, this will only last through the present troubled condition. We shall meet again when the pound is once more worth 20 shillings.
You mean?
Yes, it's goodbye forever.
Cantell and the Augmented Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script on a single sheet, and Charles Maxwell aired it. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week, and
take it from